All right, we're going to be busy today on ESPN. We are here with you if you are a sports fan. After we wrap up Get Up this morning, it's time for First Take. Then we'll have a two-hour Sports Center, then NFL Live. Then Sports Center comes back at 5 with the PTI guys, Hornhauer and Wilbon. They'll join the show. And then we cap the day with Sports Center at 10:45 Eastern after Glory Road, which is our Disney family movie night. So we'll get through this together as sports fans. But I want to try and get Robert Stanberry, only the third, back with me here again because we lost the audio there. And look, folks, you understand what we're dealing with, and we do the best we can. So, Buster, again, the storyline is this, that the general manager and the manager of the Astros, who were theoretically suspended for a season, they did not tie it necessarily to games being played. So the loophole seems to be that if no season is played in 2020, they might theoretically serve no punishment. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing from people?
Yeah, I do think there's a reasonable argument that no matter when baseball returns, that these guys have been penalized. They've been fired. They've lost money.
I was afraid that was going to happen. You know what? It's not going to work out with Buster today. Unfortunately, we lost the audio there. We will get him on next week. Again, the story is an interesting one as to whether or not baseball can go back, because obviously the spirit of the ruling was that they would have to miss a season if the season isn't played in 2020. And again, we all sincerely hope that some facsimile of a season will be played. But if it is not played at all, then would baseball try to extend the punishment in some way? That's the storyline there. There was one other thing we were going to do with Buster, and I'll play it for you anyway. This is Justin Turner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, because there's some talk about the possibility that baseball might cap games at 10 innings, especially if the season is truncated. Would there be some way to maybe play 10 innings and then have it end in a tie? Justin Turner has a different idea. I think it's interesting. Let's hear it.
This is my opportunity to push for a home run derby in extra inning.
See, there you go.
Instead of playing 17 innings, yes. Just in that you get one extra inning, you play the 10th inning, no one scores, then you go to a home run derby. You take each team's three best hitters and you give them all, five outs and see who hits the most homers. And, you want to keep fans in the stands till the end of the game. I know when I go to hockey games, I actually enjoy watching shootouts. So that keeps me in my seat. So maybe a home run derby will do that as well.
So my guy Rex Ryan is a huge baseball fan. What do you think of that idea, Rex? At the end of 10 innings, we have a home run derby.
Hell no. Why don't we just play with no outfielders or no shifts, for God's sakes? Forget pulling dang, putting a million relief pitchers in the game. That'll make it better.
Let's go back
to the old school way.
Rex, you're so boring, man. First of all, it looks like Turner watches Get Up, because I think you had someone on the show say that the Major League Baseball should do something like this. I think he makes a great point, too. Like, people will want to stay to the end and watch it. So, Rex, lighten up a little bit and have some fun.
Man, I have fun. I love the old baseball game, dude. Now I hate the shifts and all that crap. Analytics. They ought to burn those damn books. Get rid of those dang analytics.
Yeah,
Dan, that'll help baseball out.
There's at least one thing you're wrong about. If there's one word I would never associate with Rex, it's boring. All right, we have a huge hour coming your way here as we continue with you. Let's get up. It is time to get up with Tua. The final piece of the puzzle put in place yesterday. What did it mean for where he gets drafted? We have that answered right off the top. Then, don't miss Ric Flair live with me in this hour. WrestleMania is set for this weekend under vastly different conditions. He's about 15 minutes away. And then after that, how does the NBA come back when it comes back? We will ask Doris Burke, who is feeling much better, and she is back live with us as well. In this hour, as we get up with you on ESPN, starting right now with Get Up and Go. Lots of news. Titans star running back Derrick Henry signed his $10.2 million franchise tender yesterday. The two sides are still hopeful they can work out a long-term deal before the deadline on July 15th. Elsewhere, interesting, potential number one NBA draft pick LaMelo Ball. His manager told us yesterday that they have purchased Ball's Australian basketball team. That team released a statement saying no sale has been finalized, but it's worth keeping an eye on. Then you get to UFC. Khabib Nurmagomedov has reversed course, now telling ESPN he still wants to fight Tony Ferguson at UFC 249 if they can find a location that is tentatively scheduled for April 18th. Elsewhere, the Ivy League deciding not to give spring sport athletes an extra year of eligibility despite the NCAA's ruling earlier this week. The decision's in line with conference policy. They've not allowed fifth years for medical redshirts before the 2020 NFL season starting on time. That is contingent on widespread coronavirus testing and the removal of gathering restrictions, among other things. That was according to the NFL's chief medical officer, who was Dr. Alan Sills. His comments coming just days after the league had said the expectation was to start the season as scheduled. Here's some more of the comments. As long as we're still in a place where when a single individual tests positive for the virus, that you have to quarantine every single person who was in contact with them in any shape, form, or fashion, then I don't think you can begin to think about reopening a team sport, because we're going to have positive cases for a very long time. Our NFL insider extraordinaire is Adam Schefter. Good morning, Schefter. Hear the comments here. We've heard now several comments from the league the last couple of days. What are you hearing from the inside?
Well, this is obvious, Greeny. There's no way the NFL can go back until there is testing like that. You're already seeing in China the delay of sporting events that they thought would be back at a certain time schedule, that they're not on time. And earlier this week, Tom Mayer, the medical director for the NFLPA, said it would be until late May, early June, before we had more answers on this topic. And so the NFL can say this week, yes, we're optimistic that there will be a season. I think they are optimistic. But the truth of the matter is nobody knows right now. And we're all seeking answers. We all want the sport back desperately. We want all sports back desperately. But the fact of the matter is there just is not enough information right now to make any kind of educated guess or give any educated opinion as to when it will actually happen. We're way too early in this process. This virus hasn't even hit its apex yet, which will happen later this month. Once that happens, once we have hopefully a vaccine, once we have more regular testing, once we have other things, then we have a better idea of where we are in this process.
Yeah, that's right. And again, I'll say it again. It costs me nothing to be optimistic, so I'm going to stay that way. But, of course, all this is to be figured out. Schefter, have a great weekend. We'll check with you soon. Thanks. Meantime, the one thing we do know is happening is the draft. Tua Tagovailoa received overwhelmingly positive results after undergoing a voluntary medical recheck yesterday. That, according to our Laura Rutledge, who's with us live here, the recheck was performed by an independent doctor who was selected by the NFL, and the results were shared with all 32 teams. And Laura, you were with us an hour ago telling us that this recheck was done by the doctor for the Tennessee Titans, who was an internationally renowned specialist on hips. And that's a very important piece here as far as it relates to how teams will view that. Let's talk about that and why that's so important.
Yeah, I think it's crucial, Greeny. And here's the thing. This was the way this was constructed. It was basically asked by all these NFL teams. This is the way the combine rechecks go. Who would you like to check on Tua? And there's obviously some ramifications of that. And I'll get to that in a moment. But this is a guy in Thomas Byrd who is known as one of the best hip specialists in the entire world. And so he's somebody that is very trusted throughout the NFL. He's been on the physicians board for years in the NFL and is known, of course, obviously, for these hip procedures. He's been very forward thinking in that as well. And he, when looking at the pictures that were given to him from the check that happened even a month ago, saw even more improvement from those, which I think is another key point here. And in fact, Greeny, Dan Orlovsky sent a tweet just a little while ago asking, hey, if the Tennessee Titans doctor can look at Tua, why can't the Dolphins doctor go and look at Tua? Well, here's the key reason. They're trying to limit travel. So Thomas Byrd just so happens to be based in Nashville, which is where Tua Tagovailoa is doing his training. That's why this worked out quite well for them to be able to not only get the doctor to check on Tua for this final check before the draft that the other NFL teams and NFL doctors wanted to be associated with this, but he also just so happens to be based right where Tua is at this current point, which limits the travel, which stays within the confines of what everybody's trying to do right now to limit this pandemic.
See, Laura is actually answering Dan Orlovsky's Twitter questions while we are doing this live. That's outstandingly well done. Meantime, I'm told Schefter has more to jump in here with. Schefter, what do you have?
Greeny, the encouraging part for Tua here in this entire process is he really does seem to be making a lot of progress and a lot of improvement. And everything that every team had hoped to see, even though it can't get its own hands on him at this point in time with its own doctors, has happened. You're seeing the videos, you're getting the positive reports, and basically this has become the best case scenario for Tua for whatever that's worth. That's as far as teams could take it right now. And again, it still will be something of a medical gamble because of the history he has with his hip, but his ankles are coming along. His hip is improving. He's really in as good a spot as he could be. And as Laura Rutledge said earlier this week, he does expect to be ready for the start of the season, whenever that is.
Right, exactly. So if you watch our show, you've been following Laura's reporting on this from the very beginning. I don't think it could have wound up in a better place, realistically, than it is right now where we are. And that brings us to our draft expert, Mel Kiper Jr. So knowing everything we know, Mel, where does this put Tua in your mind?
I think it puts him as either the second or third quarterback, and I'm going to keep him at two because obviously when you're in the league and you're making those decisions, obviously it's a huge gamble. Rex Ryan talked about that. Rex was very accurate in talking and not overstating it about what Tua is in terms of a risk, but it's a big reward. It's a quarterback, and you don't find quarterbacks like Tua out there every year available. And the only reason he's going to be there at five is because of the injury. So if you're Miami, you got to think that Herbert is just a better quarterback than Tua. Because the medical, to me, if you're Miami and you're just sitting at five, Greeny, is all, I wouldn't say it's secondary, but it gets down to how much better is Tua than Herbert? You think he's better than Herbert? If they're equal, you take Herbert because of the injury. But if they're not, then Miami at five would say, I'm only looking at Tua because of the injury. So that makes it a lot more palatable for the Dolphins just to take him at five if he falls to them without needing for them to trade up and give up some of those valuable draft picks, which in this draft will be hole fillers at other positions.
Well, if you were watching our show about 20 minutes ago, you saw Rex Ryan likes Justin Herbert. And again, he's the guy who loved Daniel Jones last year, mm-hmm. and Jones became, you know, that surprise. So give me a quick thumbnail on Herbert right now relative to Tua as far as prospects in your mind.
Herbert has gained a lot of momentum, Greeny, because of what he is as a physically gifted quarterback and a super intelligent, classy quarterback. Everybody loves Herbert. You think about the Senior Bowl week, I really believe Jim Nagy does a great job down there getting those players to Mobile. That really helped him because it showed how his teammates galvanized around him. That was a big question. You know, is he an introvert? Is he a leader? You know, what about that? Well, guess what? That proved at the Senior Bowl and at the Combine, the way he seemed to be a guy was gaining momentum in that regard as well. And the way he finished the season, pro day, everything has kind of come together, I think, for him to be right there with Tua and make it a really tough decision for teams who are trying to weigh Tua with the injury or a clean Justin Herbert, who wasn't as good of a quarterback on the field at Oregon as Tua was at Alabama. But again, that big injury risk for Tua is why that's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see how that plays out come late April.
All right, Mel, outstanding. Thank you, my man. We'll see you next week. And let me bring Rex Ryan back into the conversation as well as Dan Orlovsky. And Rex, again, for those who are just joining us, have not heard your thoughts. As you sit here, you listen to everything. You heard Laura with the medicals. You heard what Shefty has on the inside. You heard Mel's evaluation. Right now, if you're in there making the decision, what do you do?
Well, I think first off, look, I mean, this is great news about Tua. I'm a fan of football. I hope this kid's healthy and has an amazing career. With that being said, I don't think if I only have one first-round pick, I don't know if I can risk it on Tua. And as much as I love him, you might take Herbert. Now, as a player, there's no comparison to these two. And I love Herbert, but Tua is so special as a player that – to me, I think he's the better player. However, with that being said, the injury thing, you can't ignore it. And the fact he's had four or five surgeries, I know we reported four, my sources tell me five surgeries that this young man's had. And if you get hurt in college, you're going to get hurt in the NFL. So to me, I think if I'm one of those teams, if I have multiple picks, I think this makes great sense for Miami to take Tua. I don't think there's any question. But if you're one of these other teams, boy, I don't know. It's going to be so risky. I think it's the greatest risk in the history of the NFL draft.
I think that's a very defendable argument, the risk-reward level here, because if you hit, then he won. You know, if he's Drew Brees, which I've heard people make that comparison, then it's one of the great picks of all time. And if it goes the other way, we all know how badly that can turn out. So, Dan, I'll ask you, is the bigger risk taking him or passing on him?
Passing on him because he's that special of a player. And if the organization, you've got to look at this as not just necessarily a right now moment, but also a futuristic thing. Like, if you pass on Tua and watch him, and I heard Dominic Foxworth say this yesterday, if you pass him and then pass on him and watch him become the player that we, many of us, think he's going to be, you're likely going to be out of a job. Like, you're likely going to be fired. And so I think that the Dolphins have to look at this, and the Chargers, whoever else is in the conversation, have to look at this. And like, listen, I just Googled it. It's 913 miles from Miami to Nashville. If I'm Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, and I'm Brian Flores, the head coach, I've said this. You're getting in the car and you're driving to Nashville and figuring out with your doctors, how can we see Tua? Because this isn't only a $30 million investment. This is like a $200+ million investment. Because if you hit on Tua, you are good for the next 15 years. If you choose to pass on Tua and you get three good players, that doesn't change your organization. It makes you better, but you're not set for 15 years. I've said this. It's going to take a lot of courage to pass on Tua. And I don't think the Miami Dolphins can risk missing on Tua when it comes to not taking him.
Rex, really quickly, because you've been in those rooms, how much covering your own butt is involved in making these picks? The degree to which you say to yourself, okay, if this goes wrong, I get fired. How much does that influence what teams decide to do?
Yeah, I mean, I never approach things that way. I mean, I get it what Dan's saying. If this guy hits, you're going to get fired. Well, I got news for you. If he doesn't hit and he ends up in the training room every single week, you're getting fired also. So it's not a great combination. To me, I just think it's, you know, you're going back and forth. Look, you're a fool if you pass on Chase Young. I can promise you that. Okay. And so to me, there's risk of, oh, you're going to pass on one of the greatest pass rushers we've had. So there's a risk there also. Like I said before, it's a perfect landing spot as Miami. You got three first round picks. You could roll the dice. You got Ryan Fitzpatrick there, you know, as your quarterback. You can bring this guy along slowly. I think it's the to me, that team makes sense. These teams, you know, the Raiders, somebody like that makes sense to take a guy with multiple picks. But if you only have that one first round pick, man, oh man, you better hit on that thing, and you need him to play immediately.
All right, that's Rex Ryan and Dan Orlovsky. We have the very latest. Again, it's a fascinating story, and it continues to play out. Meanwhile, hours just beginning here. We have so much left to do here on Get Up. He's a legend in the world of wrestling. What advice does Ric Flair have for his daughter and Gronk as they prepare for WrestleMania this weekend? We will ask him coming up. And then, if LeBron and other NBA players were asked to play in centralized locations, do we think they would? Doris Burke will answer that. She'll join us as well. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
We are one day away from the grandest stage of them all, WrestleMania 36, like you've never seen it before. A two-night event for all to watch from home, no fans in the stands. An event that has featured all the biggest names in the world of wrestling, and there may never have been a bigger name than our next guest. I think I speak for everyone when I say it is a delight to see healthy the one and only Ric Flair, 16-time world heavyweight champion. Ric, thank you for doing this, and we hope that you're feeling well this morning.
I feel great, and I'm be on the show. Thank you, Mike.
So let's talk about this. To go on with the event this weekend, and again, the circumstances will be very different. You're aware there will be people who will be critical of a decision to go on with something like this during this time. How important do you believe it is for the WWE to continue to entertain fans at home during this unprecedented pandemic?
Well, I think it's extremely important because of the fact that, you know, you guys and you know that I'm a huge fan of ESPN, to keep replaying and keep replaying and not have anything to look forward to that's actively taking place. I think it's, you know, wearing us all out. And I'm so proud and happy that the company decided to film these and get ready to show the world that people can smile, laugh, and have hope, and they can practice all the awareness and distancing and all the safety measures. But we need entertainment. We all need to laugh. We need to find something that we can smile about every day during this crisis.
Yeah, there will be no fans, again, in the building for the live matches that will be taking place. Again, the format of this will be different than it usually is. But there will be some live matches. There will be no fans there. How do you think, as one who obviously has lived this for so long, how will that be different for the actual wrestlers?
Well, to be honest with you, I asked that question the other day. I think with the genius of Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon, they will put together packages and they will create an event that it will look like it's live, if that makes any sense. They're so ahead of the time in putting together these packages and technology, and they'll make it so interesting that I we're going to miss seeing the fans and the interaction, but I think that the athletes are going to perform at the highest possible level. As a matter of fact, I know they will. They're no different than the other athletes in the country, or in the world, rather. And they're on a huge, biggest platform that we have. It's our Super Bowl, and it's been going on for 36 years. And I think they're honored to be there. I think that on Monday morning, instead of talking about Tom Brady and the Buccaneers and Tua, you will spend an hour of the show talking about what a great event you witnessed, and you'll be praising this and the WWE for bringing so much entertainment at a time when we need it.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough. Well, let's talk, since you mentioned the
and
Super
by
Bowl.
By the way, yeah. This McMahon's house blows. The one that Tom is running away.
that's probably true. He's at Derek Jeter's house.
Jeter's house looks like the backyard house at Vince's place.
I don't doubt that for a second. You mentioned the Super Bowl, Rick. Let's talk about Gronk, who will be there. This is his first WrestleMania. What advice have you given him?
All I did was text him, "You are phenomenal. The kid is a world-class athlete. He brings so much to us. He loves wrestling. He's respectful." And the first time I met him, he took time to walk around and just a regular guy, as are all the guys. LeBron loves us. I mean, the cross-demographic appeal of pro athletes and from wrestling to football to baseball, I could go down the line of people that I know and hang out with, and they can't wait for this. They love it. It's a huge, huge venue. And keep in mind that if you don't understand football in Japan, they understand wrestling. If you don't understand golf in Saudi Arabia, they understand wrestling. It's a worldwide demographic that loves wrestling and loves the entertainment, loves the superstars. And I have to give my daughter a plug. She's the greatest female wrestler of all time. Tune in just for her.
Absolutely. She's competing in another WrestleMania. You know, if I could ask you one.
Tell Dan Orlovsky I love him.
All right. I will tell Dan. I'm sure he's hearing you right now.
He's your walking encyclopedia.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm sure he's delighted to hear it. You know, Rick, I want to ask you one serious question before I let you go. I'm looking at that picture over your shoulder there, and it makes me think about just how long you have been such an incredibly famous person and all that you've been through. We all know from the film on ESPN and everything else. And we are going through a time here unlike anything that any of us have ever experienced. And I just wonder what emotions it is creating in you, because I think a lot of your fans would be interested to hear.
Well, hopefully I'm a more responsible person than that at this point in my life than that documentary portrayed me to be. But the emotions for me are basically I live day to day because nothing's guaranteed. But wrestling is the one consistent in my body and in my mind that I can't get away from. I live for it. I'm connected to Vince McMahon in a way nobody else is, I think, as a wrestler. And my daughter being a superstar she is, and seeing these great athletes. And I mean, Mike, the kids that perform for our company are world-class athletes. And I'm so proud of them. And I'm going to get dressed up and walk the red carpet in my house. Just like I would if we were at the Hall of Fame and getting ready for WrestleMania.
Can you give us one move for the road, Rick?
All I can say is that 48 years later, I love it as much as I did when I was participating.
Can you give us one woo for the road?
Woo! Get up!
I think that's what we all needed.
Don't hey, Rick miss Flint, it.
You be healthy, okay? Thank you very much. Enjoy it this weekend, and we will see you as soon as we can. That's Ric Flair. Thank you for doing that. I know the audio wasn't perfect. It was still well worth staying with it. Cam Newton's looking for a new team. Where does Rex think he should go? We'll ask that question next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
We are day 23 of the NBA hiatus as the U.S. continues to battle the coronavirus, and our own NBA analyst Doris Burke has had her own personal battle fighting COVID-19 as she revealed she tested positive for the virus. We're going to have Doris Burke live with us in just a moment. I was just telling her as I was checking our audio with her a moment ago, I came home from work last week one day and trending, the number one trending topic on Twitter were the words, "not Doris." And I thought to myself, what in the world happened here? And now we all know, and I'm told that we do have Doris back. Doris Burke, I hope you can hear me. And I think I speak for absolutely everyone when I say it is wonderful to see you looking and feeling well. How are you today?
Yeah, amazingly, overwhelmingly thankful to be feeling exactly that, Mike. I don't think I've ever been so happy to struggle through a low-impact, slowest 20-minute Peloton ride as I did yesterday. So overwhelmed. Overwhelmingly thankful that my children are both well. My daughter is here with me at my home outside Philadelphia, and the fact that she and her fiance have not contracted the virus, given their close proximity to me, I'm overwhelmingly thankful.
I'm going to ask you something that I understand is sort of a complicated question, but you know, you're well aware how much admiration people have for you all the time. It's something that people it's not a secret. But to have seen the outpouring of emotion that I saw and that you must have seen last week, I just wonder what that was like and what it meant to you.
It was emotional, to be perfectly frank with you. And I did not understand the power of the Woj pod, to be honest with you. My daughter had been encouraging me to make an announcement that I had tested positive, primarily because she was aware and I was aware that my symptoms at that moment were not lining up with what the symptoms we were hearing so closely associated with the virus, the high fever, the pressure on the chest, the difficulty breathing. And first of all, I can't imagine the terror of those who have felt that. Mine were fatigue and searing headaches primarily. And so listening to my daughter, I thought, well, if we're really going to reach people, Woj's pod would probably be the broadest base. And Woj had said to me before he dropped the pod, he said, "I'm going to text you." And I really was not picking up what his message was. Mike, my phone blew up and I could cry thinking about the number of colleagues and friends and family who reached out. I will just tell you, the only emotion I have felt from the time I started to feel better is overwhelming thanks, thankfulness, gratefulness. That's what I feel.
And I know that the NBA has donated money to a particular cause or charity, I should say, that is important to you, and you wanted to mention that. Let's hear about that.
Yes, thank you, Mike. So cccpp19.org is the website. This is essentially a group of 34 physicians and scientists in 17 different states that have self-organized in the hopes that they can access convalescent plasma. And it would be a lot for people who have tested positive, as I have, to consider this. But when you are feeling better, convalescent plasma is a treatment that has been around for hundreds of years. Essentially, those of us who have tested positive, we believe our bodies are now producing antibodies, and perhaps we could get those antibodies into the people who might be struggling with COVID-19. So, Mike, I will be on this coming Monday, 2 weeks clear of the virus. This would entail me getting a test to make sure that I'm clear of it, and then giving blood, essentially a process very similar to giving blood, in the hopes that we can help people. So thank you so much. It is an organization that the NBA has donated money to, and I'm excited. I can't wait for Monday to have the opportunity to hopefully participate in this.
No, there will be nothing more important we can tell anyone today than we just did there. While I have you quickly, let's just talk a little bit about basketball. I just wonder what you're hearing from people inside the NBA. You're obviously as connected as anyone about their thoughts on where we are and where we may be headed as far as the potential of having a season.
Yeah, I have so many questions about what potentially a season could look like, what the reaction of the players would be. The thing that seems to be most foremost in the minds of those trying to make these decisions is the idea of a bubble city, or, you know, could we go to Las Vegas and function in that capacity? You know, we as a country stare in the face of what could be a very difficult few weeks. And I wonder how that may shape the thinking of all sports organizations moving forward. That's first and foremost, because what we have seen is how rapidly the circumstances in our country can change on a day-to-day basis. If you get to Las Vegas, the NBA will want to do this at the highest level possible, which will require so much more than the players and the coaches. There will have to be additional personnel that would have to get tested. How would the players feel depending on how condensed this would look? Is there a date at which the NBA would say, boy, this season is probably too condensed, we can't move forward from here? You know, my initial thinking on this, Mike, was this might give the league the impetus to look hard at a circumstance they wanted to look at, which was perhaps starting the season in December, be it Christmas Day or a week before or whatever the case may be, whatever that. But it sounds from Woj's reporting that they're more likely to want to be complete by Labor Day. I have a million questions. I really do. You know, if we were able to pick it up and it was a shortened season, how would that impact people like LeBron and Chris Paul, who over the course of a 7-game series might have more influence? If the condensed season affects a 34-year-old different than, say, Ja Morant. So I have a million questions. I'm sure the league has a million questions. It's only been a week that I've been well enough to actually listen and read and consider. Whenever it comes back, Mike, I can't wait. But I do believe the implications of this go beyond the season. And by that, I mean this. When I became clear of the virus, I'm the mother of 2 children. And my thinking was, dear God, please don't let my children get this virus. And we saw the unemployment numbers yesterday, Mike Greenberg. We did. And we know what this country is staring at, what it will be like financially for so many people across the country. So disposable income is an issue. And if you're a mom or a dad, your primary thought is to your children, please don't go to a concert, a theater, right? Because until there's a vaccine, how different do we feel about our day-to-day lives in the United States of America? I don't know the answer to that. But I know this. The first feeling I had when I was traveling on March 11th was anxiety. And then it became fear. And it was powerful. And I don't know that until we get a vaccine, any of us feels any differently about that.
Doris, you know we love you. And we are so happy to see you well. And we look forward whenever we can to getting back together and just talking about basketball with you. Thanks so much for doing this morning, okay? And have a great weekend.
Thank you, Mike.
That's the great Doris Burke with us. Tomorrow on ESPN, we will have the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame Class of 2020 announcement show. This year's class will be a star-studded group led by Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Tamika Catchings. Also among the finalists tomorrow, noon Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. That should be an extraordinary show. Okay, let's go to football. And then here we got Rex Ryan here with us this morning. And there's a bunch of things that have happened in the world of football, Rex, since last we talked to you. So I just want to get some of your thoughts on some of these big stories. And we'll start with Cam Newton, who was released by the Panthers and is still looking for a home. In your mind, what is the best spot for Cam Newton?
Oh, man, Greeny, this is impossible to say just because, look, nobody's going to sign Cam until the doctors can get their hands on him. there's nobody going to sign Cam. And it's unfortunate. Look, when this young man was healthy, this is a top five quarterback in the entire league. So I'm a huge fan of Cam Newton. But right now, unfortunately, there's no team going to take a shot on him right now.
Let's look at that. That's the way it's going to go. Next, a piece of business. The NFL expanded its playoff field from 12 to 14 teams. There'll only be one bye in each conference. What'd you think of it?
I love it. Absolutely love it, because you still reward the best team. So they get the bye. Everybody else, you know, the fact you're giving two teams that, I thought it was such an advantage for the second place team. So to me, I think it's great. You get another team in that probably deserves to get in the playoffs anyway, and you have three first round matchups per conference. So I think this is a great scenario, but let's not water it down anymore. This is a perfect scenario. Let's keep it the way it is right now.
Next order of business, DeAndre Hopkins traded from the Texans to the Cardinals. What in the world do you think of that?
What? This is ridiculous. I mean, okay, I get it. The fact you traded, but the compensation. Bill O'Brien, I love Bill O'Brien as a football coach, but Bill O'Brien, the GM, is killing his football team. What are you doing, man? You had a great, look, Hopkins, this is a guy, this isn't Amari Cooper. This guy shows up against anybody, any place, any time. Super competitive. I think it's just such a win for the Cardinals. It's amazing. I thought the Khalil Mack trade was terrible. This is probably the worst one ever.
All right, and then finally, we saved the best for last. What did you think of Tom Brady leaving New England and going to Tampa?
I was all over this one. I totally missed this one. I thought he'd stay there, have the statue and everything else. But the fact he went to Tampa is enormous. And here's the thing, though. I think it's going to be diminished a little bit only because of the fact of what Brady brings to your football team in the offseason. That is where he could have cultivated that team, work ethic, everything else. They're going to miss that. Is he still a good football player? He absolutely is, but I don't think he's going to have quite the impact I thought he would initially now that everybody's staying at home.
Rex, why couldn't he get out of the AFC East while you were still there?
Yeah, no kidding, dude. See all those Super Bowl things? You know, half of those, my two brothers over there with New England, those would have been gone. They would have said Jets on them. What are we doing here? Like, golly, I tried to stay in Buffalo. They ran me out of town quick. But my goodness, right now I line up to stay in that league. And I love what the GM for the Bills said. He goes, hey, you know, it's still there. So, yeah, right. They went out, traded for Diggs. They got those two tackles. Everybody's loading up because it's anybody's race now. So, yeah, you're right, Greeny. I wish I'd go back right now.
Great to see Rex Ryan back with us here. You know what else we all want to see is basketball. And the question is, could we be seeing Paul Pierce back on a court soon? We will ask Ice Cube the ways that might happen. Coming up, he joins us live next. Get up, ESPN.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Ice Cube's Big 3 Basketball League is partnering with the producers of reality TV show Big Brother to create a 3-on-3 tournament in isolation. All of the players will be tested and quarantined together in a house during the tournament. The player with the most wins at the end will reportedly receive a 7-figure cash prize. One of the co-founders of the Big 3 released a statement saying, quote, "Our number one concern is safety. Aside from being able to work with some of the best producers possible for this type of show, they're also the right people to ensure safety and health because they've done this for over 20 years in hundreds of countries. They've specialized in keeping people in quarantined situations. If anybody knows what they're doing, it is them." The other founder of the Big 3 is obviously one of the best known people in America. Ice Cube is back with us on Get Up. And thank you very much for taking the minute here. Take us through your thought process coming up with this idea for this tournament.
Well, I mean, you know, we know the world wants sports. And if we could do it safely, why not? It's our job as entertainers to try to, you know, entertain the people whenever possible. And to me, this will be very entertaining. But safety is the key. You know, if we can do it safely, why not?
What are some of the questions relative to that? Because obviously you'll hear people wondering if this is an appropriate use of all the resources and everything else. What are the biggest concerns relative to safety, and how would you answer those questions?
Well, I mean, you know, we're going to take it day by day and, you know, work it on down. We don't want to take anything away from any healthcare workers, not trying to do that. If we have to do that, then it's a no-go. If we have to do anything that you know, messes up the flow of people that really need to get health care, we won't do it. So, you know, it's a lot of things. It's a lot of obstacles in the way. But like I said, if we can pull it off, you know, why not give it a try?
Yeah, and so the timing of it then becomes interesting. Right now we're in this particular period. Things seem to change so quickly. What would you envision being the timing? When would you like to try and get this done?
May, sometime, you know, mid-May, you know, late May if we have to. We want to try to get it up as soon as, you know, humanly possible. But like I said, it's safety. It's all about doing it in a safe way. And, you know, we're going to try to pull it off.
So let's talk about one player who has volunteered himself. Our Paul Pierce was on the Jump, and he had this reaction. They brought up the tournament to him. This is what Paul Pierce said.
I'm thinking about playing in it. 7 figures, 3 weeks quarantine. I've already been quarantined for 3 weeks. That's nothing. You know what? Rumor has it that it will be done in Los Angeles. And being that I do live in Los Angeles would make it very convenient for me. It's something that I'm going to give some thought to.
All right, Ice Cube, Paul Pierce is volunteering. Is there room for him?
Yeah, of course. You know, I've been begging Paul Pierce to play ever since we started the Big Three. So, you know, if he want to come in the house, he's more than welcome. I hope he kept his game up, though, because, you know, dudes is going hard in the Big Three. You know, it ain't no joke. So if he ready to do it, you know what I mean, we'll have a contract for him.
All right. I just have a second. But what other players have you talked to? Who else are you hoping might be a part of this?
All the biggest players in the Big Three, you know, from Joe Johnson to Gilbert Arenas, Nate Robinson. You know, we want characters in the building. You know, we want people in the building that's going to not only play great basketball, but be great entertainment for people to see, you know, how they handle this situation. Extremely unique situation being in quarantine. So, you know, we want, you know, the most entertaining people we can find to put in the house.
Listen, if it's safe to do it, then we certainly hope you're able to. Ice Cube, thank you very much. You stay safe. The best to you, and we will see you again soon. Thanks for doing this morning.
All right, man, take it easy. Y'all be safe out there.
All right, that's Ice Cube with us here again. The Big Three, if they can do it, hopefully coming soon. What is definitely coming in 10 minutes is First Take. Is this LeBron James' best chance to win a championship? Stephen A. and Max have thoughts on that and more. First Take next on ESPN. I'm Mike Greenberg. We'll be here with you every single morning. We're going to get through this together.
We're going to have bowls of cereal.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch for breakfast, lunch, dinner, midnight snack.
We're going to have us a coffee and a honey bun.
The damn down barrels are the greatest thing on this show, man.
Yeah, Marcus, you're wrong.
Dan, get the hell out of here.
Get off my back, Orlovsky, would you?
I feel like I could do that.
Don't talk about it, Greeny. Be about it.
I'm going to be about it. Someone get me an egg, for crying out loud. I'm a man without an egg.
Well, I think you're wrong.
That's candidly ridiculous.
Are you Mike Greenberg or Mike Kellerman?
Greeny, who are you now, though?
This epidemic has gotten to you in ways that I can't imagine.
Shame in the man. Golly.
I really missed this.
This is the Buccaneers general manager, Jason Light. Congratulations on the enormous acquisition.
Congratulations to you, too. Brady's no longer in your division.
On behalf of all Jet fans, thank you very much.
Get a load of the big man.
D1 up to no good.
Now let's get to some Gruden, man.
He's the Dalai Lama of TikTok.
That was everything I was hoping would be and much more. We're here with you, and we're trying to have as much fun together as we possibly can. Let's talk football. Amari Cooper is an interesting story today. You know, he signed this big contract, made him the second highest paid receiver in the NFL by average annual value. And then there was this article on The Athletic in which multiple NFL executives suggested that he's overpaid. One of the executives saying it comes back down to how many guys are really difference makers. That's who you pay the top of the market to. I'm sorry, Amari Cooper helps, but he does not tilt the field. He has not shown up consistently. Max Kellerman pops in here. First Take is just a few minutes away, but wanted to get your thoughts on this. Do you believe that the Dallas Cowboys overpaid Amari Cooper?
Yeah, probably, but once they invested the first-round pick in him, and then, by the way, once he produced for them, like, think about Amari Cooper with Oakland, with the Raiders. He was considered, wait, is he a top-five receiver? Is he moving into that category? He was better with Dallas, really, than he'd ever been with the Raiders. So they have certainly a top half of the league lead wideout that they put the first-round draft pick in for. And when you consider the effect he has on Dak Prescott, who's clearly better with Amari Cooper, they kind of didn't have a choice.
Kind of feels to me, Max, I just have a moment here, as though the Cowboys, this is another example of how they put themselves sort of into a trick bag, right? That so many of these deals they're making, including the one they'll make with Dak, are because they have no choice.
Well, you have to ask yourself, you have triplets, right? You have a franchise quarterback, you have a legit number one wide receiver, and you have a Pro Bowl caliber, maybe all-pro running back in Ezekiel Elliott, meaning he's a top three certainly in the league, top 3 to 5, no question. How high are each of their skills pitched? Because you're paying them all like they're the best or top 3 or top 5 in the league. But it's not the case with Cooper, and it's not the case with Dak. It is the case with Zeke. Just because they all fit a certain kind of description, lead guy, franchise quarterback, does not suggest and doesn't mean that they are actually elite at their positions, but they're being paid like they are.
I agree with you completely, Art. They're yelling at me because you have to go. First Take is coming up in less than 2 minutes. I'll be there with you guys in just a few moments as we get there. Meanwhile, to finish it up today, I've got Orlovsky and Rex Ryan, who have been terrific all morning long. And, you know, Rex has been sensational today. But Orlovsky, I think there's no question who had the single best moment in the show. Take it away.
Yeah, Greeny, I mean, obviously Rex has been gone for some time, and he came in hot today with a lot of hot takes. But really only one thing that was said today matters, and we need to let Rex hear it. So play the clip.
Tell Daniel Lasky I love him. Yeah, he's your walking encyclopedia.
Dan, your reaction.
Rex, I know you probably can't see me, but... Woo! Rex, you need to listen to me more.
Rex, your thoughts.
Hey, you talk about disappointing. Ric Flair, really, dude? Come on.
Yeah.
I'm the guy, man. I watched you wrestle. Orlovsky never saw you wrestle. You don't even, I mean, come on. I think he had my
Ric Flair.
He was listening to me when he was saying that. Woo, nothing, man. Forget it. I don't like it. Bobo Brazil with a cocoa butt at him. I think he hit him too many times. Forget it, man. Nah, I love Ric Flair, and that was a great shout-out. I got to give it to you.
All right, guys, we are out of time here. Leave it to Orlovsky to insist we bring that back. All right. We've had a great morning. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And if you are one of the first responders or medical professionals who are keeping us safe and helping us through this difficult time, there aren't enough words to tell you how much we thank you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.